You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're watching Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young. Join Sutton every Wednesday night on The Sports Objective as he talks East Carolina football. Here's Sutton.
And with that, we welcome you to Pirate Breakdown, where I, along with Bubba and other guests, will be breaking down the offense, the defense, and the special teams of ECU Pirate football each and every week. And I am joined by one of the Sports Objective's own, Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sutton. You know, just fired up for Saturday. You know, it seemed like it was going to take forever to get here. And then, you know, the more the summer went along and time started to pass pretty quickly, and fired up for Saturday.
No doubt about it, especially with the momentum that is coming in from last year. Let's go over some of those for you. 7-5, it was the first winning record for the Pirates since 2014. That was their first year in the American Athletic Conference. And three of those five losses, well, they were only by one possession. So just imagine the record, what that could have been if the Pirates could have won those games. And also the first bowl bid since 2014. Now, obviously, we know that they did not play in the bowl game, but still an incredible accomplishment for the Pirates. And Bubba, I think this is pretty easy to say that this is the most optimism that Pirate Nation has had going into a season since, really, 2014.
Yeah, no doubt. You know that 2014 season, there was so much expectation, or you know, so much anticipation and so many expectations with Shane Carden, Justin Hardy and company, and a quality season, but that season was so close to being 10 or 11 wins, some heartbreaking losses, you know, much like last year was not quite that extreme. You know, we were close, but we didn't lose in quite the heartbreaking fashion that we did that year to Cincinnati and UCF. But last year, like you said, it could have been anywhere from four or five wins to 9 or 10 wins. The margin for error was extremely small, and then the Pirates found a way to get it done in some games, and then you had games against the better competition, like down at UCF and Houston, where we just simply could not get it done and didn't make the plays when we needed to.
I think the big thing, though, with Houston and UCF is – those teams have had our number, frankly, since we've been members of the conference. I know we beat UCF back in 2015, but really ever since then, it just hasn't been that close. So to see us come toe-to-toe with who I think are going to be the best two teams in the conference this year, it was pretty remarkable, and I'm really interested to see what the Pirates can do with both of those teams, and they both are going to be playing in Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yep, you read my mind. That's what I was about to say, that both of those teams have to come to Dowdy-Ficklin, and Pirates have the luxury of playing 7 home games this year, and 4 of those are in the month of September. The Pirates will not go on the road until they are in early October.
And that's one of the beauties of college football is I remember as a kid, I would always wonder, I can't wait for back-to-back games. And I would drive home from Greenville, and I'd be like, oh, man, I wish I'd come back. Well, for Pirate Nation, you got 4 of those. So, I mean, it's a very busy September month. So, it's definitely
going
for Pirate Nation.
No doubt. There will be plenty of recuperation for Pirate Nation as well as the team. But like Coach Houston said, even though as unorthodox as it is, and it certainly makes for a more challenging schedule down the road, having to go on the road in the months of October and November. And, you know, it gives you an opportunity to get off to an excellent start. And I think the closest thing I can compare it to, I'm trying to remember if it was 2011 or maybe it was back in the Holtz years, actually. But there was one year where we played 5 consecutive home games. I'm trying to recall which year that was. I'll see if I can dig that information up for our viewers and listeners. But yeah, there was one time where we played 5 consecutive home games. It was a ridiculous stretch.
And that's the one thing, too, about the schedule. And I mean, I know some people love having a back-to-back, but I think of it, too, I like them all spread out. I remember in 2013 when we played the likes of Old Dominion, FAU in that first blackout game, and then Virginia Tech. That was three of our six home games right there. So I think having it spread out, having all the seasons of fall, the hot days of summer, the leaves changing and falling, then when you have to wear the jacket in November, I mean, you want to be able to experience all of that in a college football season. I think we'll be able to this year.
Yeah, I agree, and definitely agree with what you're saying there as far as the experiencing all the elements and, you know, having the chance to, you know, see the Pirates play. We'll see what the temperature ends up being on Saturday. I haven't taken the time to look at that forecast. I just know John Gilbert yesterday when he was addressing the media and Coach Houston, they were saying that the forecast is looking good. So they definitely expect to sell those remaining 2,000 tickets and get a sellout crowd of right around 51,000 or so at Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yeah, that would be the first sellout since 2016, I believe, against NC State.
Yep, and strikeout.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the last strikeout we did, and it was State. I mean, it looked pretty good. I mean, it's one of those where hopefully the fans will get in there early. I remember in 2016, about 15 minutes till the game, I'm like, uh-oh, is this going to work? And then when everybody got in their seats, it's like, wow. Pulled it off. It looked great.
Yeah. That was certainly the peak of a very dark era. But that day, second game of the Scotty Moe era, was an awful lot of fun. I remember jumping on the Wolfpack early, and you had big runs where State failed to wrap up, and James Summers did what he did so well, running with the football and making plays. And then NC State had some frustrating penalties, from their standpoint, and maybe missing two or three field goals that were very makeable, and definitely failed to capitalize on their opportunities, and the Pirates took advantage.
Oh, no doubt. That definitely, look back at the last 5-6 years, that was one of those key wins that ECU was hung on to for a while. But, I mean, really, since that win against Power 5 teams, obviously Carolina, we beat them in 2018, but the last two meetings with State have not been pretty. But it certainly seems with the experience coming back, we have 16 starters coming back this year for the Pirates. It doesn't seem to be a blowout this time around.
No, I mean, you look at these two programs. There was a time, back, like I was speaking with John Cazaza, the first East Carolina quarterback to ever beat NC State way back in 1971, and that is going to be our debut episode of A Pirate's Life for me, Friday at 12 o'clock. So definitely check that out on our YouTube channel. We recorded that conversation this afternoon. But, John and I were talking, the Pirates and the Wolfpack played annually from 70 to 87. And then you obviously did not play again until the Peach Bowl. And then you had five more years go by until you met in 96 and 97. And then they finally came to Greenville in 99 after all those meetings in Raleigh or at neutral sites. And it's easy to see, why the rivalry is so heated. And it's easy to see why, in my opinion, I think this rivalry is better than NC State and North Carolina rivalry. It's just a matter of, these teams not playing annually because both of these fan bases really, really love football, and they're very passionate about it, and it leads to a very fun atmosphere. And I think we'll certainly see that on Saturday. Hopefully the Pirates can uphold their end and make this a four-quarter game, if not even better, where we can take care of business and record what would be, just a landmark victory in our program's history.
No doubt, and that would easily be the key victory, the signature win, rather, for Mike Houston since he's been with the program. Let's go ahead and talk about some expectations. As I said earlier, ECU is returning 16 starters. That's pretty good. The running back combo of Keaton Mitchell and Rajay Harris, frankly, is the best running back combo I think we've had since we've been in the American Athletic Conference. And, of course, we can't talk about the ECU offense without mentioning Holton Ahlers. Fifth year with the program, and frankly, he's looked as good as he's ever looked.
Yeah, Holton, despite, you really look at Holton. I mean, his commitment in the offseason going into his senior year, you know, he knew that, you know, despite having a solid year a season ago, there were a lot of things he could still fine-tune. And he showed the commitment that you would expect to see from Holton Ahlers. He was at the Manning Passing Academy and really, you know, learned a lot down there, made some nice connections and some great ideas, obviously. And we're great guys, excuse me, to obviously bounce ideas off of and so forth. And not just Peyton and Eli, but several other quarterbacks from around the country, including Devin Leary. And then in addition to that, you know, I'm trying to remember the organization he worked with down in Mobile, Alabama, you know, fine-tuning, I think it was maybe quarterback country. But he really didn't put in a lot of work down there and did a lot to fine-tune, you know, his mechanics and so on and so forth. And I think we'll see that pay dividends. And he also, you know, dropped at least 5 or 10 pounds.
Oh, no doubt. He looks as good of a football player as I've seen in quite a while. I was out at practice a few weeks ago. He looked very, very solid. And another thing, too, to mention, obviously the wide receiver position. When you think of East Carolina football, you think of the wide receivers. And we have Hatsfield come back. We have C.J. Johnson coming back. But we have two new guys, Isaiah Winstead from Toledo and Jalen Johnson from Georgia. I mean, I think that those two guys can easily make an impact right away.
Yeah, I'll first talk about the wide receivers, and I'll, you know, revert back to the running backs for a moment. But as far as the receivers are concerned, obviously, you lose Tyler Snead, who's so reliable. And then you also, you know, you had the question marks of C.J. Johnson. Fortunately, C.J. took care of his business and is looking better than he's ever looked, according to Donnie Kirkpatrick and the coaching staff. And then you did have the loss of Audie Omotosho, who really developed into a solid receiver that produced, at least 35 to 40 catches. So I think that, you know, a position that was – looking pretty iffy at one time, and then you may have some suspect depth now. That's per Donnie Kirkpatrick. I think you have talent, but it's just unproven behind those guys that we've already mentioned. But you think about it, C.J. Johnson, Jalen Johnson, Isaiah Winstead, and then you throw in Shane Calhoun, Ryan Jones, and then obviously the guys you've already mentioned with Rajay Harris and Keaton Mitchell. I mean, that's a pretty elite, you know, skill group, in my opinion. I think that it's the best we've been at those positions across the board, you know, since you had those playmakers back in 2014 with the likes of Breon Allen and obviously Justin Hardy, Zay Jones, Cam Worthy, et cetera.
Oh, no question about it. And here's your first prediction for you for the 2022 season. This really, I guess some might say it's a soft prediction, but I think Keaton Mitchell, he will lead ECU in touchdowns. What he did last year, I've got so much confidence in the guy. He is going to be an absolute dog for this ECU team.
Yeah, another thing to keep in mind regarding your prediction with Keaton Mitchell, not only can he create those explosion plays, you know, as a running back, you had, at least five or six, if not more, touchdowns of 50-plus yards a season ago. This year, he's also returning kickoffs, so keep that in mind. I would not be at all surprised to see him take a kickoff to the house in 2022.
I could honestly see him take two. He's that talented. And speaking of that, too, another prediction that I've got, Malik Fleming, I think, will lead the team in interceptions in a defense that, frankly, has been at its best, really, since they've been in the conference.
Yeah, Malik Fleming he had a very solid 2021 and didn't, you know, receive a lot of accolades or attention just because Jaquan McMillan was having a historically good year, you know, on the corner opposite from him. But Malik, you think about the Pirates salting away that game against USF, on the Thursday night. He had that big pick six that really gave us a lot of momentum and played solid football for the most part. And then you have a pre-Washington coming in from Buffalo. He's played a lot of football there in the MAC for the Bulls. And then so when you look at a pre-Washington, you've heard so many guys, hey, who's standing out in this secondary that wasn't a part of it last year? And they say, hey, it's a pre-Washington, hands down. You know, he had a pick six on the, I think, the first day of contact. And, you know, he's continued to impress throughout camp in the intra-squads. So very intrigued to see a pre-Washington on Saturday in this season.
No doubt about it. I think that we can't talk about this defense without talking about how well Blake Harrell has done for the Pirates since he's been here since 2020.
Yeah, Coach Harrell has really given the Pirates what we've needed defensively with the change of scheme. Obviously, why Coach Houston was going away from Coach Bob Trott. He just felt like we were a little too vanilla and not multiple enough against today's offenses. And Coach Harrell was a guy that he was familiar with. And then when he presented himself and his scheme the way he did during the interview process, it removed all doubt. And Coach Harrell's unit has shown tremendous strides in 2020. That season kind of was what it was. And you saw some progress, but just because of the craziness of 2020 and the COVID impact, you didn't see what you would have seen otherwise. And you had to play an abundance of young, you know, very inexperienced defensive linemen. But that hardship that the Pirates went through in 2020 is, you know, really paying off now. And you take a look at it, and this year, I think this could be our best defense since Skip Holtz years. Last year, we went from averaging, what, 34 or 35 points a game allowed, and we only allowed, what, 25 and a half, 26?
Yep. No, I mean, there's no question that this defense is going to be one of the best we've seen from ECU, I mean, frankly, since we've hit the 21st century. They are going to be a very good defensive bunch. Now, let's jump to special teams. Owen Daffer, obviously, back, but Luke Larson, he is a guy to watch out for. He has looked very, very good in preseason camp. The 30-year-old, he's going to make some plays for the Pirates.
Yeah, no doubt. Very intriguing replacement there for John Young with Luke Larson. And when I think of Luke Larson, the first play I think about is, I think you're probably going to think or realize where I'm going with this, and that was that fake punt back in 2020 in the season finale against SMU, where you know, the Pirates were facing a fourth and short situation, and SMU didn't line up as they needed to and had a soft edge. And, you know, had a wide open lane, excuse me, for Luke to take advantage and pick up that first down. And everything we've heard after maybe some inconsistencies in the spring, he's really stepped up his game this fall. And then I know we'll really talk about Owen Daffer. You know, he was automatic inside of 40 yards last year. And then he's probably best known for the kick at Navy where he drilled it from 54 and it would have been good from 60.
Oh, no doubt. That really has been that key play of his career. And I honestly think he's going to build on that. He looks to be a very, very good kicker, and him and Larson, it's going to be one of the best kicker punter combos in the country.
I really think so. Obviously Luke is much more unproven, but he's shown that he has the ability. He just has a small sample size. So really need Luke Larson to carry on what John Young was doing in the punting game. And one thing that he does bring to the table is probably maybe a little more versatility there. You know, I think John could be a rugby guy, but Luke is much more natural for him, I'd say. And we'll see how Luke boots the football. Hopefully he won't have to punt the football very much, but when he does, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, average 43, 44 yards per punt or something along those lines and be able to force a lot of fair catches and pin opponents deep.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump into this state game. I know many people were wondering, well, what do we think? Well, I'm the type of guy, if you know me, you know I don't just hand out wins. I don't hand out losses. I give the facts straight up. I think that this is a very improved ECU team from when they played State back in 2019 and Mike Houston's debut as the head coach. However, I just think that State is too talented. I'm not saying the Pirates are not going to be able to keep up. They are. I think it's going to be a very close game for a while. I've got State winning 34-20. Again, I think it's going to be close in the first half. I think the third quarter is going to be close, but I think State's depth is just going to be too much. But I, even though it's a loss, I think it's going to be a positive step in the right direction for the Pirates. And along with that, I think it shows the improvement that Mike Houston has made during his tenure here.
If I had to make a prediction, it'd probably be very similar to what you're saying. I think NC State's program is a little more established, but at the same time, like I was telling someone, I think if we play the way we can play and which is challenging to do in a first game, especially against an opponent of this caliber.
No, there's no question about that.
Honestly, I could see it being anywhere from, being an upset win to, 14, 17-point loss, something along those lines. But I think if we do lose by two or three scores, that it would be a situation where we were pretty competitive throughout and State pulled away later in the ballgame.
Right. No, I agree with that. But before we wrap up here, let's talk the AAC. The preseason poll had us sixth. I slightly agree with it. I know some people were disappointed. I have the Pirates finishing fifth. I think that Houston will win the conference. I think UCF will be second. Cincinnati, they lost a lot of talent, but they're still going to be competitive. I see them winning 9 wins. Have them at 3. And that number 4 spot could go to anybody. It really could. I mean, you have the likes of many, many teams. SMU, I think, could be decent. I mean, who knows with Tulane? And frankly, Navy. I mean, they've had some pretty bad years under their head coach. He's been there for quite a while, but they always tend to rebound. So I think that number 4 spot, 4 and 5 for that matter, are going to be up in the air. But I think ECU can get one of those 2 spots.
Yeah. I really hadn't put together predictions. I was surprised that the Pirates were picked 6th in that poll. But I was thinking it probably be 4th, but when you look at things, I think our schedule sets up pretty well for us. We talked about having 7 home games. You have Memphis at home, you have UCF at home, you have Houston at home. You do have to go to Cincinnati late in the year, and then when you take a look at some of the other schedules, Houston has a very favorable schedule in that they do not have to play Cincinnati or UCF.
No, they do not. I do not believe so until the conference championship game, assuming that they will get there. But we never know. That's the beauty of college football, is you just don't know what's going to happen on any given Saturday. Who knows? Can the Pirates win the conference championship this year? We will find out. But certainly it looks like it will be a positive season for the Pirates, and I do expect them to get back to a bowl game. Bubba, any final thoughts?
No, just looking forward to seeing Pirate Nation pack Dowdy Ficklin on Saturday. It's going to be great to see Pirate Nation doing what it does so well, and that's create a raucous atmosphere. And it will certainly be the most raucous atmosphere since at least 2016, if not going back to 2014.
No, absolutely. A lot of momentum on this game. Well, Bubba, thank you for joining me, and thank you for watching. We will see you back here next Wednesday, and as always, have a great night and stay undaunted.